They just talk about this food good, this food bad. And it's just this black and white thinking. And it's like, yes, man, listen, if you only ate fried chicken from KFC and you ate nothing else, you would be nutritionally deficient. The same way that if you only ate one food, independent of whether it's a very natural, minimally processed food, you're still going to be nutrient deficient. So for example, Eddie swears by steak. If you only eat steak, you're going to be nutrient deficient. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Dr. Joey Munoz Show, your go-to podcast for all things health, fitness, and nutrition. I'm your host, Dr. Joey, nutrition science PhD and founder of Fit for Life Academy. Today's episode was a conversation with my friend, Harry Thorne, who also owns his own online coaching business. Absolutely great guy, super knowledgeable. We touched on a ton of different topics, including social media misconceptions when it comes to nutrition, why some people like Gary Brecka and Eddie Abu, I think I pronounced his name correctly, have absolutely blown up on social media, even though their information is complete trash. And if you don't know who those people are, bless you. You'll probably know who they are after you listen to this episode. And then we also talked about coaching and what our different frameworks are and what are some of the things that we do to help our clients achieve their health and fitness goals. With that said, let's go ahead and go right into it. Hope you enjoy the episode. We're live. What's up, Harry? How are you doing, my man?
I'm so good, man. So good to chat.
Yeah, it's awesome to chat with you. I say this every time I have somebody on the podcast. It's really cool to connect with people on social media. We're putting out absolutely great content, helping people improve overall health with balanced nutrition and exercise related content. It's funny how saying like balanced content is even a thing now, because most of the content we see on social media is so radical. When it comes to diet, and honestly, it's not as bad on the exercise side of things, but specifically diet, it's pretty polarizing.
I feel like with exercise, there is so much more kind of room to breathe. And also it's much more subjective. You know, it's just like you do the exercise that you do. You like it because you like it, whatever, right? Obviously there's better ways of doing things and not so good ways of doing things. But mate, when it comes to nutrition, that is nutrition content right now. Wow.
Yeah. Have you heard of Joel Seedman?
I haven't actually.
No? I think he's like the number one charlatan on the exercise side of things.
I've never heard of this guy.
So he's all about like, he trains high level athletes and it's all about like not going full range of motion and intentionally stopping at 90 degrees for everything. And he just like, I don't know what his justification is. He says that 90 degrees is full range of motion and it's just silly stuff. It's funny. It's the same thing you see on the nutrition side, on the exercise side of things. I recommend checking him out for a good laugh.
Yeah, for sure, mate. I mean, I will. Well, I say a laugh. The thing is, it's actually been taking its toll recently, like especially when it comes to the nutrition content. Like at first, you know, you see people like Eddie Abbey pop up, like, you know, you see him pop up. I'm not sure what you're like with name dropping on the podcast, but
You can say whatever you want, man.
Yeah. Fantastic. So like, you know, with his type of content, when he first started really popping off, I was like, yeah, you know, this is funny. Like, there's no way anyone's going to kind of buy into this kind of thing. And then you sort of see the followers creep up. 1 million followers. Okay. Maybe some people are buying into this. 2 million. Ah, right. Maybe we have a problem here. Yeah. 3 million. And oh, wow, man. I mean, like, that is one of the best examples of somebody who, I think the craziest thing about Eddie Abu is that the message is a good message deep down. Like, I think that his bulk message is just, you know, eat more real food, or like eat more whole foods and, you know, eat really what it should be is maybe eat somewhat less ultra processed food, for example, but it's not, you know, his way of wording it is, you know, what was that pancake day thing? What was the pancake day one he did?
I don't know. I just know that every single video of his, for the audience, for you guys listening that don't know who Eddie is, he's this guy who is an ex-professional bodybuilder, and he's probably in his 50s or 60s now. He's an older guy, but he looks great for his age. He's definitely super healthy, and his social media has popped off over the past couple months. He's, I think, close to 3 million, like you mentioned, and his whole thing is every single video, he grabs a random processed food and he just like makes up some lies about it and then goes, this is shit. Don't eat this. The government's lying to you. They're trying to keep you sick. This is shit. Mm-hmm. And like, that's every single one of his videos. And like you mentioned, I think the underlying message is not a bad message, right? Eat more whole food.
Yeah.
Like, pretty simple message that we all stand by. But what really gets me, man, and I'm sure it's the same thing that gets you, it's like the blatant lies and the stuff he makes up about specific foods that people really think is true, and they're scared to eat certain foods, and there's no nuance behind it either, right? Like, and the unfortunate part is that people don't go on social media for nuance.
No.
It's tough, right? Because Eddie, for example, Eddie made a video that I responded to. It was his video talking about eggs versus a protein bar, right? And he's like, these eggs have about 20 grams of protein. No, it was two eggs. He's like, these two eggs have like 14 grams of protein. This protein bar has 20 grams of protein. I'm like, okay, pretty accurate so far. It's like all his videos start off with some accurate information.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but you see this here? He's talking about the bar. And he's like, this has too many ingredients, so it's not bioavailable. This is shit. And I'm just like, how did you go from like, this has 20 grams to now the number of ingredients makes it less bioavailable? And all of that is not accurate. So I make a video trying to explain that nuance. And dude, probably like 70% of the comments are just like, how can you say that a protein bar is healthier than two eggs? I'll take the eggs. No, thank you. Like, Bob, I'm like, this is so ridiculous. This is not what I'm saying.
It's so stupid because it's just, it's like, the lack of nuance is unbelievable there, because it's like, oh yeah, because you can just say you're on the move, right? You're traveling. Can you take like four like pre-cooked eggs in a Tupperware with you at all times? It's like, what if you're not in that situation, right? Like, what if for whatever reason you need to get protein, you're on the move, let's say you're traveling, whatever. Like, is it really a good idea to feel awful about yourself because you had to reach for some like ultra processed protein source, like a protein bar or like a pre-made protein shake? Like, you need to be in a position where you're not stressed about that kind of thing. And that is the effect that type of content has, right? It's that fear. It's that scaremongering around like ingredients and having too many ingredients. And I mean, again, you know, back to what we were just saying about how like the message is a good message, but actually it doesn't matter if the message is good. If the way you're reaching the message is A, misinformation, and B, scaring people, then what are you doing? Like, I'd argue that the net impact you're having on people is a bad one, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, because you can make that argument for every single person talking about health information. You can make the argument that, hey, their whole message is just to live a healthier life. Yeah, that's their message, quote unquote, but like what they're actually saying isn't necessarily achieving that, right? Yeah. And we need to understand that things beyond physical health are important too, like mental health. And you were alluding to the fact like you obviously don't want to feel bad about making certain food choices. Mm. But I think it goes a step beyond that too, because people like Eddie creates unnecessary fear. Like, there is no inherent unhealthy impact of consuming some highly processed food, independent of other variables like how much you're eating, what does the rest of your diet look like, right? Like, a protein bar, if we just say, is a protein bar healthy or unhealthy? You can't answer that question without context. You actually can't really answer that question for most foods, right? Because these foods aren't inherently negatively impacting your health. And the thing about Eddie, man, it's like he slowly becomes more and more like radical. I actually have a video lined up, for those of you guys listening, this will probably come out in like a week or two, that I'm doing a response video. Like, he talked about nutrition for kids. And are you familiar with KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have KFC over
there.
Yeah,
in the
UK,
we do.
But
we
I'm
do.
Assuming you call it.
Yeah.
Cool. So he's talking to kids. And it's funny. The first thing he says is like, kids, I'm not going to curse at you. And he pulls out some KFC. He's like, but you don't want to be eating this. And like in my head, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, you probably don't want to be eating a ton of KFC. It's mostly fried food, not many vegetables, not much fiber. It's very calorically dense. But then he goes on and he says, you see this right here? It's going to prevent you from growing. What? It's going to
be the opposite, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's going to prevent you from growing, and it's going to stop you from learning at school. And I was like,
did he actually say that?
Dude, I swear. I will share the video with you. I'm doing a response video to it next week. Oh, I already recorded it, but just landed up for next week. And I was just like, man, like, how can you make the argument? Like, the thing is, sure. Yeah, we can argue that kids shouldn't be eating a ton of KFC for the reasons we mentioned. It shouldn't be their main source of food, like, no doubt. But it's not because it's going to prevent them from growing. It's definitely not because it's going to prevent them from learning at school. And you could actually argue that for a kid that's in a situation where they have little access to food and they don't have sufficient nutrition, some KFC is going to be helpful. So it's context specific.
And also, like, this is a bit, a somewhat hot take. I mean, people would lose their hair over this kind of thing. But like, KFC tastes nice, you know? KFC tastes good, right? And let's take somebody who's trying to lose weight, right? And like, they regularly eat foods like KFC or McDonald's or whatever it may be. They enjoy their fast food, let's say. The worst thing you could do with that individual would be to cut out those things they like eating entirely and make them scared of that thing, right? Like, that would be probably the worst thing you could do. Like, that is a guaranteed route to no diet adherence whatsoever. They would hate the process, and the likelihood of them actually maintaining weight loss long-term would be like zero, right? You would be shooting yourself in the foot in terms of actually adhering to long-term weight loss, right? So like, one of the most useful things you can do when you approach diet properly is to say, I'm going to use this food to my advantage. You know, I love KFC. Why don't I use it as a reward system? You know, and the same goes for kids, exactly what you're saying. You know, you can, yes, of course, you know, everything in moderation. You know, you can't be eating KFC every single day of your life, obviously, in huge amounts. That's obviously not a good thing, right? Like, we know that. But I think something that's always lost when with people like Eddie and the way they communicate is they never talk about diet pattern ever. Like, you never see these people talk about diet pattern. It's like, if you eat well, I don't know, 5-6 days out of the week, right? Or even 80% of the day, doesn't necessarily have to be week by week. Yeah. It can be on a daily basis. And say the other 20% or 10% of the day or week, you enjoy some ultra processed food or some KFC or whatever. It's like, you are making amazing positive change. You are definitely going in the right direction, and you're not fearing foods for no good reason. You're not never eating them ever again, and which sucks, right? Like, they are undeniably nice foods. They're engineered to be delicious food, right? Like, they're engineered that way. And if it is something that's you can use to your advantage to help you make healthy change, help you lose weight, then why on earth would you not use that to your advantage?
Yeah. And I want to even add here, because I don't want people to also think that those foods are strictly just fun foods that are just a reward, because even those foods can help you meet your nutritional needs, right? Like, you mentioned something very important about people like Eddie, is that they do not talk about dietary patterns, right? They just talk about this food good, this food bad, this food good, this food bad. Yeah. And it's just this black and white thinking. And it's like, yes, man, listen, if you only ate fried chicken from KFC and you ate nothing else, you would be nutritionally deficient, right? Hmm. The same way that if you only ate one food, independent of whether it's a very natural, minimally processed food, you're still going to be nutrient deficient, right? Hmm. So, for example, Eddie swears by steak. If you only eat steak, you're going to be nutrient deficient, right? And there's people in the carnivore community that only eat steak or whatnot, whatever. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that everything is context specific. When we talk about what does a healthy diet look like, the idea healthy diet is not, the answer to that question is not answered by saying what foods to eat and what foods not to eat. The answer of like, what does a healthy diet look like, is really a discussion of dietary patterns, right? Meeting your nutritional needs. What does that mean? Making sure you're getting adequate protein and fiber and fat and carbohydrates and micronutrients in your diet from a diverse source of foods, making sure that you have an appropriate energy intake. So somebody who is protein deficient, extreme example, would actually improve their health by eating KFC, right? Exactly. It's context appropriate. That's something that's totally missed by Eddie and pretty much everybody in that camp.
And it's such an issue because because the way in which this content is presented in these absolute terms, I think at the end of the day, again, it links back to his message. It's all in the communication, right? It's all in how you communicate. It's not necessarily what these people are saying per se. Lots of the time, it's just how they're communicating. I think in Eddie's case, it is what he's communicating. But
yeah,
with many of these people, many of these health and fitness influencers, it's not so much what they're saying, because roughly speaking, what they're saying is somewhat okay advice, but it's how they communicate it. You know, it's this absolutely extreme, never eat seed oils ever again. Seed oils are poisoning you, which makes me want to genuinely smash my head against a wall. If I see one more seed oil piece of content, I am going to lose it. Like, I'm actually going to lose it. Stuff like that, you know, and it's not about what they're saying, it's how they're communicating it. And it's because of this communication that people just get so terrified. They're just like, what do you do as the average consumer? Like, what do you do? You see someone telling you that eating oats is going to kill you for three different reasons: glyphosate, phytic acid, oxalates, you know, three things that if you do understand nutrition and know how these things work, you're probably not very concerned about realistically, right?
But sure.
The vast majority of people, they don't know, and therefore they are extremely concerned because they hear this big word, this big kind of like unknown word they've never heard of, this chemical, and it's framed in this way that says it's this, you know, humongous problem. And because of the content, because it comes through as like these big, bold statements, statements, I should say, we know as content creators that you need hooks, right? You need a big hook to get views. Yeah. We know that, right? The issue is that this is not how health works, right? Health is not hooks. Health is not bold statements. Health and nutrition is all nuance, right? We know this. And the issue is, obviously, the content that does the best has got the biggest hooks. So this is the content where people go, stop eating seed oils, or like, stop eating this, or like, you know, whatever it may be. These incredibly extreme, over-the-top things that people like to talk about, right? And they're the ones that get the clicks, obviously. And then you get people that are talking in a more nuanced way, and you compare the two, and you go, well, this one's got, you know, 8 views. Of whatever, because people don't want to sit down for a long period of time and tune into like a nuanced conversation and actually learn something. They just want hard facts. So I think it's really, really hard as content creators in the space of nutrition and health, because at the end of the day, content is consumer driven, right? The consumer wants this content. Otherwise, why would there be a push for it, right? The consumer wants hard facts, right? Unfortunately, in health, there are very few hard facts, right? That's a hard pill to swallow, but that's just how it is, because it's all nuance. And that's why those huge, bold statement posts do well, you know? And then it's just a vicious cycle of sort of demand of more of these like hard facts, bold statements, three ways of doing this or whatever it may be. And, you know, it's this vicious cycle of just nonsense and nobody learns anything, you know? People just... it just creates this absolute minefield where people are like, you know, what piece of content do I trust? Who do I actually trust? You know, this person's telling me to, you know, drink seed oil. This person's telling me, have you seen the Gary Brecker with a wand in the water?
Yes. Oh man. Unfortunately,
I am getting so many questions about that recently. And it's like, if you're seeing someone who's promoting like this stuff, someone who is an authority figure in the space, like, what do you do? Like, how do you, as a consumer, what do you do? You know, I think it's so, so hard.
Hey guys, some of you may not know that I'm the scientific advisor for a supplement company called Outwork Nutrition. I help with the formulation of new products to help ensure that they're effective and backed by science. Unlike many other supplement companies out there, we don't rely on exaggerated claims or flashy marketing tactics. Instead, we let the science speak for itself. We take pride in formulating products that deliver real results, helping you achieve your fitness goals in a meaningful way. If you're in the market for supplements like protein powder, pre-workout, or recovery products, make sure to check us out at outworknutrition.com. And as a thank you for being an avid listener of this podcast, use code Joey for an exclusive discount at checkout. You can find the link to our website down in the description of this podcast episode. Remember, our goal is to empower you with science-backed supplements that truly make a difference. Choose Outwork Nutrition and elevate your fitness to new heights.
Yeah, there's no, you know, I love that you brought up the idea that, like, you know, as content creators, we need to be creative with the way we present information because we want people to watch our stuff. And at the end of the day, we are competing, right? It's a it's not a competition, but in the literal sense, but you're competing for people's attention, right? Because we all have businesses, we work with clients, we want our stuff. Well, it makes sense. But there's no better hook than just saying something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like the more ridiculous you can get, the better it's going to be. It's crazy, man. Like, people gravitate towards that. And it's evident, right? You have a video of Gary Brecka waving a wand in water and it has millions of views. And it's literal nonsense, right? It's not providing any sort of value at all. And then, like you mentioned, there are other people that maybe make a video about the importance of hydration and how to stay hydrated. There's a guy saying, hey, put this wand, hydrogen water, you're going to get hydrated 4 times quicker. That gets a lot of views. And this other person talking about, like, importance of hydration, how to assess hydration status, et cetera, like, no views. It's hilarious. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I personally have strategically changed the type of content that I do to be more reaction-based for a couple of reasons. One, when I was doing strictly educational content, it obviously didn't perform as well, but also, as a creator, like, when you've been doing this for a while, every day, it gets a little bit redundant, right? And I felt like, man, I had covered a ton of nutrition-related topics already, a ton of exercise-related topics. I felt like the main heavy-hitting questions about health and body composition, like, I've already covered them all a number of times. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't feel like I wanted to just continue making the same videos over and over again. And I would say that before, maybe like a year ago, 70 to 80% of my content was just educational. And then maybe 10 to 20% was like fun / reaction style videos. Mm-hmm. And now it's the complete opposite. I do like 80% reaction videos. And one of the reasons is because, like, there's always new shit content. So it doesn't get redundant because it's fun. Like, you see this guy saying something ridiculous, you explain it. And then two, I genuinely feel that it does more positive. It has more positive outcomes for the consumer because the thing that the reaction style content allows is for people to understand why certain content is not correct.
Yes.
Right. Whereas when you're just educating, I tell you, hey, hydration is important for these reasons, and this is how you stay hydrated, and this is how you assess your hydration. Great. But I didn't help anybody understand why that other thing about the stick in the water is complete bullshit. Right. So I've had that shift over. It's interesting to see the kind of feedback that people give, because you also mentioned, you know, people give their opinions online and people don't know whose opinion to listen to. And I've had people comment on my stuff and they'll say things like, he's sharing his opinion and you're sharing your opinion. Why should I listen to your opinion? Mm. And it's always the same answer. I'm like, this is not my opinion. That's the difference. Exactly. This guy is sharing his opinion. I'm not sharing my opinion. It's scientific evidence. It's crazy, man.
And I know, it's mad. It's so mad. Like, it's not opinion.
Exactly.
It's not opinion. And, like, the fact people think it's opinion is a huge issue. The fact people think that it's a case of just what so-and-so says, you know, rather than someone who's literally there. Like, I have my head in research articles all day. Like, I have the flipping citations right here. Like, watch them. The issue I had, actually, and I think it's really interesting that you brought up about the way you've changed your content over time, because I think people like yourself who dedicate the majority of your content towards calling people out is absolutely fantastic. I think it's fantastic. I think that it is so important that we have more content creators, frankly, just calling out bullshit online, right? I think it's so important.
Yeah.
There's one guy who's coined the term Nutri-bollocks, if you've heard of that. I don't know if you use the word bollocks in the US, do you?
We know, but I know what it means.
Yeah, right. So this is an English guy. He's called Dr. Joshua Woolrich. He's got his own podcast. I forget what it's called. Or Warwick. I forget his surname. But he's coined the term Nutribollocks, right? And he'll go and he'll call out the Nutribollocks. And I think that
That's
you guys
do.
It's brilliant. It's so good. And I think that, you know, the kind of hassle and mental stress of doing that is a lot. Yes, it's fun, and it definitely does not get redundant. On my end, I've had a bit of a mixed experience with it because I exact same as you. I mean, I've been making content now for like 3 years, consistently really 2 years in terms of like actually posting reels pretty much every day. And exactly the exact same as you, I was focusing massively on tips, health tips, you know, 3 ways to do this, 5 ways to do that, whatever, right? Definitely swerved at times, certainly early on, into that clickbaity realm of things, as many people do. Perfectly happy to put my hands up and admit that. Definitely did. And that content did really, really well. It did really well. In fact, it caused me to blow up from like 2,000 followers to 100,000 followers in the space of like a month, right? It did so well. Gained loads and loads of traction. So it was huge. This was last year, early last year. So it gained loads of traction, was obviously fantastic for my business. And then the more I kind of saw this spread of misinformation, and the more I got obsessed with the importance of nuance, right? And the importance of quality just over just pure quantity and clickbait. That's when I started posting slightly different content. I started talking with more nuance. I started doing, you know, more in-depth, detailed discussions with my content. It was much more varied. I was talking about things that I was genuinely really interested in, that and the videos did provide a lot of value, but because they weren't framed in this way as like the one fix or like, you know, 3 tips that are going to solve your problem or whatever. Because of that, engagement dropped massively, absolutely huge, like plummeted to a point where it's completely plateaued. And it has pretty much been a lot slower ever since, right? And it's like you have these 2 routes as a content creator, although I imagine there is a solution, which I think we can touch on in a second. You have these like two routes where you go for like clickbait, misinformation, spreading bullshit, going for these kind of big hooks, et cetera, with your content, which do really, really well. Or you maintain some like scientific integrity, we can call it, and you talk about nuance and, you know, do it properly. And then you have people that dedicate a lot of their time to calling people out, which I think is so important. I don't know how you do it, by the way. I don't know how you do it every day. Like I've done a few posts, and I think part of this, I did one post on Eddie Abbey, right? And I live in the UK, so I've got quite a big UK following. Obviously he's also UK based. A huge portion of his following is UK based, right? So obviously there were some crossovers there with followers. When I did this post, the backlash I got in the comments and DMs was absolutely insane. Like his fan base are lethal.
They are,
I'm sure you know, they are lethal. And I think a huge issue is because there's so much power in the consumer, i.e. they can report your account and they can flag you for misinformation, which they did with me. They commented and DM'd me saying, you know, this is blatant misinformation. Bear in mind, the video I was calling out was the one where he said you had to stop eating fruit to lose weight. So, you know, I wonder where the misinformation really lies. Right? So I was calling out that and presenting a solution, right? And this post got ripped apart by these fans. And to the point where, like, I'm then actually putting my business on the line, which is effectively run through Instagram, to call out this type of content, right? Like, I've got people reporting my page. What if my page then gets flagged? What if it's then put up as like a spam page or a misinformation page or whatever? I can't risk that, you know? So nowadays, you know, certainly over the last few months, I'm swaying more towards, you know, just more informative content. I still have loads of videos in the backlog reacting to the likes of Gary Brecker, Paul Saladino, Eddie Abbey, et cetera, that I will post. But I just, I'm a little bit tentative with it, although I think it is so important, and I couldn't have more respect for the people that do it, especially people like Lane Norton as well. Do you know Lane Norton?
Yeah, of course. I worked for his coaching company.
Oh, did you? Oh, fantastic. I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
How was it?
Until last year, I worked for his coaching company for about 2.5 years. And then it was July or August of last year, I decided to go on my own and start my own coaching. It was great.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
He actually
It's like 5 minutes from me. He lives here in Tampa as well.
Oh, does he really? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he's an amazing example of somebody who dedicates so much time to calling out content. And you can tell, I'm sure you know, as you know him well, that this must cause a lot of stress. You know, in terms of breaking down these videos, I can't remember which one he did recently where he was breaking down, I forget the guy on the Huberman podcast, and he spent like hours and hours and hours deconstructing breaking it down. And like the dedication and time it takes to like break down misinformation and then educate people is insane. And the time taken to spread misinformation is like snap of the fingers, right?
Yeah.
Someone can literally go online who hasn't got a single qualification, anything. They effectively know nothing. They might have seen a TikTok themselves, right? And then they're just reposting it like, oh man, I don't know. Start eat like 300 grams of raw grass-fed butter in the morning to like, I don't know, improve your skin health or whatever. You know how these things work. And all of a sudden, it's a viral video with 2 million followers. And then, there you have it. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I want to touch on here, because although it seems perhaps attractive to do things like that for people like us, because we do this as part of our business, I don't think that type of content is maybe even like super monetizable, or like just because you have a substantially larger following means that the person does way better financially or anything like that. Because oftentimes like those two things are related, but not necessarily a strong correlation there, right? Like
agreed.
If you're just like, I don't know how somebody like Eddie makes his money or whatnot, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here, but I would assume just like telling people like this food shit, that food shit, this food shit. Yes, you get a lot of eyeballs, you get a lot of people following you, but how monetizable is that, right? I'm not sure because I don't do that. But then the other aspect of it, what you mentioned in terms of like calling out info and it being stressful and you don't know how I manage it. Dude, like I have a completely different outlook on it. One, I do not engage with comments. I've said this so many times, like I just don't engage with them. No, I don't engage with them. And if I see a really crazy, ridiculous comment, I just screenshot it and put it on my stories because it's hilarious. I don't respond to DMs from random people. I don't engage with comments unless it's somebody asking a genuine question. But on those reaction videos, it rarely is. So I just don't engage at all. I have before, and it just like makes you feel bad. So it's like pointless to engage. And the second aspect of it, in terms of calling out content, for me, it's like, it's kind of fun, man. I don't really get stressed out about it. If I see something that's ridiculous, I just like turn on my camera and kind of share my two cents. I usually script everything, but I don't take a crazy amount of time on it either. Cause I also know that like things on Instagram disappear after 24 hours, right? So I'm not putting a ton of effort on the stuff that I do for Instagram. Like my strategy, and this is why I started the podcast, because I was like, if you really think about it, Instagram is not the correct vehicle to deliver nuanced educational information.
No.
Right? Like if you want to learn about something outside of nutrition or exercise here, you don't go on Instagram to learn about it. You might see some posts that give you a tip here or there, but like you might go to YouTube or you might Google it, or nowadays you use something like ChatGPT, but you use other things to learn about a specific topic. And Instagram is really just for fun, right? Like,
yeah,
you're sitting down for 5 minutes, you open up your phone. Like it's not educational, at least not for many people. So the way that I thought about it, I'm like, I'm still going to provide some value in my social media content, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be a little bit of mockery, some sarcasm, some education. And then usually every week I make some sort of post about my podcast and try to direct people here, because people will get a lot more value out of listening to this conversation than they will out of my Instagram posts, because they're so short, right? Like you just can't deliver value like that. So I think it also really comes down to the strategy that you use for your business and how you use each platform slightly different. Obviously, we're nerding out about this stuff now. I'm sure the audience does not care about this at all, but who cares?
Yeah. I still think it's important though. Like I still think it's so important, because I think it's a really interesting take. I think that's a very interesting take actually about, swaying content more towards it just being enjoyable. But there is tons of value there. Like there is tons of value of helping people navigate the space, right? I did a whole YouTube video a few weeks ago on how to navigate health and fitness content without really knowing what they're talking about. Because, I mean, as we said, most consumers don't know what these people are talking about. They don't understand the nitty gritty of nutrition. They don't understand biochemistry. They don't understand these things, right? Why would they? It's totally fair enough. They don't understand supplementation or, you know, all of these big science words that might get thrown out to them. And the entire and all the underlying processes there, they don't understand it. Why would they, right? It's totally fair enough. So it's so important to understand when someone might be kind of making things up, bullshitting, without really knowing what they're talking about. And when it comes to health and fitness content, the way you do that is understanding how they're communicating. It's noticing on what words they're talking about, right? It's like, are they using words like, the one thing to fix this, you know, phrases like that, like big, bold statements. Are they framing, is their entire channel, let's say their entire page, framing this one lifestyle, this one diet, you know, going carnivore as the one solution to all of your problems, right? It's this kind of thing that once you're aware of that way of communicating, you know, a charlatan, you know, those red flags, and therefore you know when to, at the very least, take the information you're receiving with a pinch of salt, right?
Certainly. I made a podcast episode on the exact same topic. And one of the things that I mentioned, it's such a silly one, but if somebody's diet is on their Instagram name, it's probably not a good source of information, right? Like ketogenic Katie or carnivore Chris or something like that. If somebody, whatever, you open their page and it tells you about like the specific diet they follow in their description, it's probably not a good source of information. And I use the word probably there without being very certain on that, because there are some individuals, for example, that may be vegan or may follow a particular style of eating, but still have some nuanced information. And I'm emphasizing this because I've made similar videos on Instagram as well, like three red flags for bad social media info. And I usually say that one, like if their diet is in their name, and inherently I'll have some people who actually have some really good content about nutrition and diet and they're vegan for personal reasons. And it says it in their bio. I'm like, I'm vegan, but I share good information. I'm like, you're right. There's some nuance there as well. But the main thing is really nuance, right? People don't provide nuance. Mm. And what do we mean by nuance? Because people listening are probably like, Eddie is nuanced. He's telling you what foods are bad. When we talk about nuance, what it really means is you cannot answer a question about nutrition with a simple yes or no. It really depends on the context, right? And if the context isn't being discussed, then there is a lack of nuance. And that I say with certainty on any nutrition related topic. To learn a little bit more about you, Harry, because this is the first time we're actually speaking. How'd you get into the field? What's your background?
Oh, wow. So I'm 25 now, for context, still young. But I started really, so I started in the typical way that many lads start when it comes to health, which is just getting into the gym, right? Like I really enjoyed the bodybuilding side of things. Probably when I was about—
Were your parents into fitness?
No, not particularly. No, me and a friend of mine who actually, he's called Connor. He actually started together like bodybuilding type stuff in the gym, triceps every day, you know, triceps before training chest every single day. And incidentally, we both ended up becoming online coaches. Actually, he's a fantastic transformation coach. He's called CWC Fitness, amazing transformation coach. Cool. So interestingly enough, we both started, you know, doing that, which was great. So loads of bodybuilding, which was awesome. And then throughout uni, I actually had a load of various health issues. So I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, so Graves' disease, if you're familiar with Graves' disease. So the symptoms, absolutely rough, awful. Like my resting heart rate was like 95 BPM on a good day all the time, as a result of just an overactive thyroid. For those of you who don't know, Graves' disease, hyperthyroidism, it basically means you have an overactive thyroid. Some of the typical symptoms there are like constant feelings of anxiety, always feeling jittery, kind of on edge, anxious, really high heart rate, boiling hot all the time as well. Like you're always really, really hot. couldn't sleep, heart palpitations, the list goes on. So I got this diagnosis during second year of university. So I was studying sports and exercise science, which I absolutely loved sports and exercise science. Focused on advanced nutrition during that time. So like all these kind of health components were coming in. And then I obviously had this sort of health scare, actually. I was in quite a bad way when, you know, it first got diagnosed. Started on the medication, et cetera, did all of that. But then became very, very fixated on actually, what can I do aside from the medication to really take care of my health? Like I've been in a position now where my health's been pretty damn bad. I've been incredibly, not overweight in terms of being like obese, but I've been overweight in terms of bulking way too hard to a point of like, man, like I was pushing my natural limit like mad. I've never done steroids or anything like that, but like I was bulking like an absolute madman. But obviously because of the overactive thyroid, I am like a calorie burning machine, right? Like, you know, with that overactive, you are literally torching through calories, and I wasn't aware of it at the time. So I'm there like hammering in calories. I was probably doing, wow, like some days 5,000, maybe pushing 6,000 some days. Like it was just disgusting, right? Again, I was younger, I should say, obsessed with all of the bodybuilding stuff, trying to get as strong as I possibly could, eating like a madman, right? So I had all these various kind of interlinking health things going on. I felt rough, felt awful. And then effectively, as I started learning more and more throughout my degree and throughout my own research, like I learned the fundamentals through university, studying sports and exercise science. But really for me, it was a kind of doorway where I just stuck my head into so much more research, you know, like understanding how to read research papers, understanding how to like critically read research papers and actually form your own understanding of concepts was probably the biggest thing I took out of the degree. Like, I mean, it was really useful, but you know, I was doing like a fair few hours a week extra just reading into all of this stuff. Yeah. So I just loved it. Just absolutely loved it. I started figuring out actually there's loads of things that I could do myself to really help my health and really kind of carry things along. And maybe certainly when it came to like just dealing with, I mean, I'll be honest with you, at the time I was really trying to seek out like a natural solution to my thyroid problem. I didn't, to put it in short. So like I was there like looking at, you know, cruciferous veg, for example. I was like, oh, is cruciferous veg going to help my thyroid? Like, should I cut that out of my diet? You know, all of this stuff. And I was doing all of these things, but obviously at the end of the day, you know, with some things, unfortunately, you know, for people that are like, you know, funny about medication or whatever, sometimes you're just going to have to shut up and listen to your doctor. And that's exactly what I did. Yeah. And it worked. And I'm still on medication now. I'm on a very, very low dose. You know, everything's all good now. But effectively, I got really into health, absolutely obsessed with it. I trialed so many things on myself, whether it be nutrition, just absolutely dialing in my nutrition to an amazing way. I did have some body weight to lose. As I said, I wasn't obese, but I sorted that out. My sleep was an absolute mess at the time as well. So I got on top of that. And effectively what I was doing, this was actually during my kind of final year of uni, I was effectively trialing loads of these things on myself. I was using myself as a guinea pig, so to speak, right? In terms of different ways of training, I was incredibly busy. I was writing my dissertation. It wasn't a page turner, by the way. I was doing my dissertation on beetroot juice supplementation and sports performance. Yeah. You familiar with beetroot juice? Probably are. Yeah, of course. Yeah, as a PhD, I'm sure you are. Yeah. So I was doing my dissertation in that, incredibly busy, and I was like, right, I need to be as optimized as physically possible. Like I'm dedicating a lot of time to my work, but I still need to get into the gym. I still need to like do the things that I enjoy doing there. I need to be on top of my sleep. I need to be on top of my nutrition. I've got to dial it all in. So effectively, as I said, I kind of guinea pigged myself with a bunch of different things, realized towards the end of the process that actually I'd created a service. You know, I was like, I've created a service here. Yeah. I can really help people with exactly what I've built out, you know, focusing on all these different elements. So then what I started doing was building out the online coaching service itself during that final year, alongside my dissertation, and finishing off uni. Finished uni, managed to get first overall. So absolutely chuffed with that. And then effectively just started taking on clients straight away. So like literally, I never actually worked as a, I'm a qualified personal trainer. I did that at the same time, but I never actually worked on the floor of a gym ever. Like I did some work experience, in the gym, but like to me, like, and I'm not, by the way, I think face-to-face personal trainers are fantastic. I think, you know, what they do is really, really important. But I think for me, especially working, you know, on the few weeks I spent in the gym, I just couldn't help but think to myself, like, yeah, it's amazing that these people are like in the gym and they're working out, but they're only accounting for 1 hour of the day, right? It's like they're in the gym and they're doing this amazing exercise and it's brilliant. But then what about the other 23 hours of the day? Like, what are they doing? Like, you know, there's got to be a better way of doing this. And that's why, in my eyes anyway, and I'm sure you have similar thoughts here, that's why online coaching works so well, because you account for every single hour of the day, right? At least you try to, right?
I would say, framing it in the way of every other hour in the day, I understand where you're coming from, but I think it's more of like being able to tackle different aspects of nutrition besides just exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's just
and so many sleep. Go to a trainer and they think that's the end all be all, right? I'm going to work with a personal trainer, I'm going to achieve my goals, and many people do, and that's great. But the truth is that exercise is just one aspect of health. Nutrition is one aspect. Stress management, sleep, like all of these things are really integrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry, like, to, you know, please continue.
Oh no, it's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, no, it's mad because like it's amazing to get involved with exercise and regular exercise. But yeah, if you're not accounting for the other things, then you're only going to get so far. But that's not to say that, you know, seeing a PT regularly in the week isn't an amazing step in the right direction, you know? But yeah, so like I effectively realized, I was like, right, okay, PT's cool. It's very time consuming. And there's only so much you can do to actually help someone really change their life, right? If you really want to come in and turn someone's life around, like you need to not leave any stone unturned, right? Like you need to get in there and you need to get a very good idea of that individual. You need to get a very, very good idea of how they operate, what they're doing, their preferences, what their diet's like, what their attitude towards diet is, their diet preferences as well. What foods do they like? What are their like Achilles heels as well? You know, like what foods are they, you know, do they have a sweet tooth? Are they the kind of person to like maybe potentially overbuy on something and then without realizing like put down like 6 chocolate bars without realizing, you know? It's very, very common.
Yeah.
So you really need to understand someone back to front in order to, you know, really, really help them. I started building out the service, started taking on clients during my final year of uni. Rest is history, man. So that was like 3 years ago. I've been coaching for over 3 years now. I've coached at this point, we're over 150 clients at this point. I think we're actually pushing 200. I need to like double check. But yeah, the last 3 years have been an absolute dream, man. Yeah.
That's so cool, man. That's fantastic. I'm happy that you've had so much success with it. I definitely want to ask you a little bit more about your coaching framework and what are some of the main things that you work on with clients. But I wanted to touch on something that you mentioned quickly first. You mentioned that when you were diagnosed with Graves' disease, you tried to find some natural alternatives, right?
Like
natural solutions, and were hesitant to perhaps take medication. And I feel like a lot of people fall into this bucket, myself included. Like I try to use medication as a last resort for things. I'm definitely not against medication, but if I could do something else besides take medication, I definitely want to go that route. What bothers me more than anything, because people like Eddie or whatnot, yes, they're spreading misinformation. We can argue that the damage they're doing is bad, but it's definitely nowhere near the content creators that are essentially predators feeding on people who are going through some really, really difficult stuff. And they claim that they can cure their disease with a particular protocol. In our context, nutrition, right?
Yeah.
There's all these people that are like, man, if you have things like cancer or certain autoimmune conditions, like this diet will solve it. And I'm like, what are you saying? Right. Even Gary Brecka has somewhat crossed that line too, to the extent where he says that many autoimmune conditions are just made up, like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, any GI condition, he usually says is just.
I mean, he literally says, sorry to cut you off, but he literally said in one of his clips, he was like, I can tell by asking somebody three questions that if their gut problems are, no, if their anxiety and depression is caused by gut problems or not. Like he literally, you know, according to Gary, he's out there with a cure to anxiety and depression. It's like, all right, Gary, cheers, mate.
Are you tired of spending countless hours grocery shopping, cooking, and preparing your meals? I get it. Time is precious, and that's where Icon Meals comes into play. I've partnered with Icon Meals to bring you delicious, macro-friendly, and high-protein meals that will make it easier than ever for you to achieve your fitness goals. I understand that you may have hesitations over the cost of a meal prep service compared to cooking food at home. But let's face it, how often do you spend more money eating out because you didn't have time to prepare your food at home anyways? With Icon Meals, you not only save time, but you invest in your health. These meals are carefully crafted to be healthier and more in line with your fitness goals than most of the food that you eat out anyways. So why wait? Visit iconmeals.com and explore their wide array of mouth-watering meals. And as a special bonus for listening to this podcast, use code JOSEPH10 at checkout for a special discount off of your order. By the way, you can find all of the necessary links in the description of this podcast. Don't let time be a barrier to your success. Choose Icon Meals and fuel your journey towards a healthier, fitter you. Yeah, man. And the other guy, do you know who the medical medium is?
I don't actually know.
No, he's this guy who has no nutritional background. And his whole thing is like, he has a juicing protocol and he throws like dozens of supplements at people. And his whole thing is that he can communicate with spirits and spirits give him the nutritional protocols to help people cure their diseases. Seriously, I'm not making this up. This guy's got like 3 or 4 million followers.
Oh my God.
Has a book, best-selling book, definitely a multimillionaire, just based off predation, like completely made up stuff. It's crazy that people fall for
this. Oh my
stuff.
Days.
But
yeah, no, it's crazy, just to dial back to the autoimmune thing, because I think I sort of know where you're going with this, because there is a responsibility as a content creator to not do the obvious, which is tell people that you can cure their autoimmunity with one little diet change. And also it is so messed up to leverage someone's vulnerability in that state as well.
Exactly.
And like you see people do this all the time. Like you have like, you know, Dave Asprey, for example. He'll do this where they will leverage someone's state of absolute desperation, right? I mean, like, and I've been there, right? Like, I've been so hell bent on finding a natural cure for my autoimmunity that I was doing everything. I was reading all these papers. I was like, oh, I found something that was like, oh man, what was it? You know, some research says that maybe if you have thyroid problems, you can dial back on like cruciferous vegetable intake. Maybe that helps, right? And it's like, yeah, maybe, but like, we're talking about the tiniest increments ever. Like, we are talking about the tiniest increments. Yet, people will make content, and they have done, saying, you know, stop eating cruciferous veg because it affects your thyroid, right? And, you know, Paul Saladino, I imagine you've seen that as well, said that exact thing. And it's just like, you'll have somebody who has a thyroid condition, for example, who is going to listen to that content and actually think that making this minuscule dietary change is going to have a life-changing impact for an autoimmune condition. And it's just like, maybe, you know, maybe they get incredibly lucky. Maybe it happens, you know, and you see this when people do extreme elimination diets where they have some kind of autoimmune disease and they go carnivore, you know, they start eating like raw liver or, you know, whatever it is, right? They start doing these like magical things, you know, the grass-fed butter. And all of a sudden their autoimmune disease goes away. And it's because of the carnivore diet rather than the fact that they're just eliminating foods that potentially they had an issue with. It's like, it's not
exactly
the thing that you're eating. It's the thing that things you're not eating. And there are now a ton of things that you're not eating. And guess what? You don't know what those things are. Like, you don't know what those things are. So you don't know what the issue was unless you then, you know, periodically reintroduce foods over a said amount of time, right? But it's just so messed up, man. Like, people are so vulnerable. They're so vulnerable when they have severe conditions, and they are looking for any fix they possibly can do.
Yeah, it's probably the easiest way to make a scam, right? Mm. You pick people who are extremely vulnerable, that they're going through a lot, they're suffering immensely. You identify the issue that they have, and then you make up some sort of lie that traditional medication or traditional interventions aren't actually effective, because the truth is the government actually wants you sick. So they're not trying to cure your disease because they're trying to make money off you. And if you follow this protocol that I have that is unique to me, and I am smart enough that nobody else in the world knows about this except myself, I need to buy my course for $2,000 and buy my supplements, you will be cured. It's laughable, right? Like, you just laugh. It's laughable. Mm. People who are suffering will try anything, right? And I have a hard time relating because I've never been in that situation, but I can see why it happens. Yeah. My good friend, Dr. Adrian Chavez, made a whole episode on the medical medium, because people inherently always ask him, like, if it's so bad, then why are so many people reporting benefits? And it's what you mentioned. If you throw everything at someone, some people will have positive impacts.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And this guy, yeah. And this guy highlights his marketing strategies. He highlights the people that had positive impacts. And anybody who tries to share or say anything negative is shunned, blocked from his page. His community goes after them. It's a cult. It is a cult, right? On another note, I'm not sure if you saw this. I'm assuming you follow Dr. Ids.
Yep.
ID. So he obviously does a lot of the calling out content too. He recently made one on Gary Brecka, because Gary Brecka made a second video doubling down on, like, blended fruit increases the glycemic response by like 4 times. And so he's said this now a number of times. And this one really exposes how uneducated these people are. Okay, at least to me it does. Dr. Ids made a response video showing why that's not true. For those of you guys listening, blended fruit does not increase your blood sugar more than intact fruit. Actually, there's a good amount of research to show the opposite, it may slow down the glycemic response. And anyways, Dr. Ids...
Fiber, didn't they? Like, actually getting more fiber from potentially blending up seeds, they thought.
Exactly. Yeah, the other aspect of it is that you actually digest carbohydrates by chewing, right? Salivary amylase starts the breakdown of carbohydrates. So if you're not putting as much saliva in the food and you're not chewing it for as long, you probably slow down the digestion of it. That's probably an aspect of it too. But anyways, Dr. Ids made a video explaining this. And to my surprise, Gary Brecka responded. And Gary Brecka actually said, this guy is right, I'm wrong. But here's the funny part about the comment. Here's the funny part about the comment. He said, just so you know, like, I was saying that because I read some article online that said that.
You're and joking.
Like, dude, hold up.
You are
a guy who is like a quote unquote expert in the health field, have millions of followers. You're well respected by certain people. You claim to be an expert, and you mentioned that you were saying that blended fruit increases your blood sugar much faster because you read some article online.
It's like, unbelievable.
What the? Yes, unbelievable. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
And the funny thing is that most people don't understand what's wrong with that. And they're like, oh, yeah, not to blame. He read some articles online. No.
It's like, oh, totally fair enough. Yeah. You messed up. Totally fair enough.
Like, exactly. It's like, experts do not read an article off Google and have that influence their opinion without looking at other sources at the very least, or going on PubMed and reading some actual research, or understanding how physiology works. Because when I first heard that claim, immediately I thought, that's not right. I didn't even know what the research said. I went and looked for some research afterwards, but I'm like, it just doesn't make sense, right? Because first off, blending fruit, they're like, you're destroying the fruit, whatnot. But you got to think that carbohydrates, cells, all of these things are microscopic. I think really blending something up for a couple seconds is going to disintegrate the structure of every cell in the fruit. Probably not, right? You probably have to blend at a really high speed for a very long time in order to do that. It just didn't make sense. And then I'm like, yeah. And then you actually digest carbs if you chew them. So if you're just swallowing a smoothie and you're not chewing it, that also doesn't make sense. It's just hey, if you're an expert, those thoughts go through your mind. It's very obvious that it's just not true. And it's, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That
is,
I cannot believe that he, and this links back to the whole responsibility thing. You know, somebody that has an ounce of integrity and an ounce of responsibility, especially someone that has a massive following, should not read a little article. It's the equivalent of like seeing a tweet and deciding that tweet is a fact and then resharing it as a fact, right? In fact, it's worse than that. Like, that is baffling. That is absolutely baffling. I can't even fathom it. Like, that, you know, and yet the craziest thing is, I mean, what is really worrying is that, yeah, that isn't something that's flagged as massively concerning by loads of people. People might still say, ah, you know, whatever, he messed up this one time or whatever. But it's like, if he's done this with this one thing and this rationale of his is like, okay, what else of the stuff that he sells is based off of a little article he read once, right? That is a major concern.
Yeah. I'm glad I brought that one up because I just saw it the other day. I'm like, this is so funny because I read the comment and I'm like, he's exposing himself, yet most people will not understand that he's exposing himself.
Yeah.
That's the, wow, the unfortunate truth. Dude, so tell me a little bit about your coaching business, your overall coaching framework, what type of people that you do you work with? What do you see are some of the like, bigger mistakes? What are the things you focus on? I'd love to learn a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I focus... Honestly, now I'm actually working through something that is pending. Actually, next week, my coaching will have a slight rebranding actually over the next sort of few weeks.
Cool. That's exciting.
But effectively, yeah, but effectively what I do with my clients is weight loss, fat loss, muscle gain, sleep optimization. We obviously do a full diet optimization as well. Like, I think diet is my favorite part of things, coming from a nutrition angle, you know, focusing in on nutrition majorly throughout my degree. It's something that I absolutely love. So it's something that I love to do in detail with my clients. So I like to do a diet analysis with my clients. It's a huge thing that I do, which is amazing fun. Like, I effectively have them log their diet in great detail, run it through some software, get a very good idea of exactly what their nutrient intake is like. And then through doing that, we can then patch up gaps in their nutrition. So that way they can have an optimized diet. They can tick all of the boxes. You know, they get adequate protein, carbs, fats, calories, as well as vitamins, minerals, fats, you know, all that jazz, right? As well as eating the foods they like eating. So that way they can adhere to their long-term goals of, let's say, weight loss or muscle gain, right?
Yeah.
So there's like a bunch of different components there that I absolutely love to touch on with clients. So it's a very cohesive approach. It's something that like I will sit down with a client and we'll go through everything like and not leave a single stone unturned. I really don't like just these, I would say I do actually have an issue with people that and coaches that will just put someone on some bulk plan. Like, just say, right, you know, here are your calories, you know, here's a training program and see you later. You know, it's like, come on, like you can do better than that. You seriously need to just dive into absolutely every single feasible thing. And there are a lot of variables at play, especially when we're looking at weight loss, you know, fat loss, right? There are so many variables to consider that you need to be aware of as a coach in order to actually understand the client and then yield long-term results, right? So that's something that like, I absolutely take so much pride in and something that I love to focus on. Yeah.
That's cool, man. And what's your philosophy with like training? Are you mainly doing like hypertrophy based training?
Yeah.
So we must want to get jacked.
Yeah, sure. So like, obviously that's a huge thing. For me, I tend to work with very busy people. So like for the last sort of 2 years, I've been sort of niching down with busy professionals. And I love working with busy people. As I say, you know, when I was incredibly busy during my time, final year at uni, doing my dissertation, building a business, and also trying to do training too, I had to think of very, very efficient ways of training so that I could kind of maintain my muscle mass, continue to get strong. So a big part of that was about a new way of programming that's incredibly concise. And I love programming this way. Like you give yourself time constraints and you say, right, well, I typically quite like a 40-minute workout. I think 40 minutes, you can do a damn good workout in 40 minutes. I know that people obsess about getting their like 1 hour, hour and a half, 2 hour long workouts,
that's
3 hour long workouts. Is it? Really? How long?
Usually an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, that's solid. Yeah,
the reason that is because I actually like enjoy being in the gym. Like it's my break from work. I like spending an hour and a half there. I like not rushing. I know that everybody doesn't do.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's, of course, it's always case dependent. So for me, working with like people that are incredibly busy, like some of these guys, they have like a 20 minute window in the morning, you know, like take like, you know, a CFO or someone who literally, they have the most unpredictable daily lifestyles ever.
Yeah.
Right. Like it can change at the snap of the fingers. So the approach to programming is very different. You can't simply say, okay, Monday's push day, Tuesday's pull day, Wednesday's legs. It does not work like that, right? Because if you're locking in those training days to a like certain day of the week, and that day of the week, you know, turns out to be an incredibly busy day where, you know, their entire life gets thrown upside down for the day, they're not going to gym. And the problem is that that's then going to create a knock-on effect. And if they haven't gymmed that one day, that could then potentially ruin their entire week, especially if they're having the attitude of having, especially if they're adopting the attitude of thinking that they need to train on specific days, right? Like Monday push day, etc. So instead, the approach becomes, right, what is the bare minimum that you need to do in the gym each week in order to be moving in the right direction? Let's say they just have the goal of like muscle maintenance, let's say, just for the sake of it. What is the bare minimum that you need to do in the gym this week in order to adhere to a pretty solid program in which you can guarantee muscle maintenance or muscle gain? You figure out what that is, right? You figure out how much time they have. You figure out the days in which they that are usually, you know, a little bit more busy than other days, right? Like days, most people have a couple of days of the week where they're like usually pretty snowed. Yeah. You figure that out. You establish a bare minimum, work that into the program and say, right, at the very least, you need to hit 2 or 3 compulsory sessions that you need to hit in the week. Let's say it's like an upper, let's say 2 sessions, right? Upper, lower. You have an upper and a lower that you need to hit every single week. But then if you have more time and you find yourself with a bit more flexibility, let's say your week isn't as busy as it normally is, then you can facilitate that further with more sessions. So at the very least, they're constantly at this baseline. They're constantly pushing in the right direction, even if it's not necessarily enough to get absolutely jacked. Obviously, this depends on their goals, of course. But if their goals are simply muscle maintenance, if they can get in for a very good upper session, a very good lower session, and then maybe push things along the line a little bit further with like an accessory or like top up based session where like they're getting some, you know, let's say like shoulders or arms or calves, you know, a little bit of accessory work or whatever, then it's all positive and moving in the right direction. And it guarantees that they are always moving forwards. Like even on the worst weeks ever, they still have the availability to get in the gym and hit a pretty damn good session or a few damn good sessions. And I just think it works. Well, it does work incredibly well.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. Because you're right, man. Like, not, I was going to make a joke and say, like, are you telling me not everybody's trying to get jacked? Obviously, that's not everybody's goal, right? And yeah, dude, people really do get fixated on, like, I have to do this workout on this thing. It's like, it doesn't matter. You have a certain amount of work you need to get done.
Yeah.
You can spread it out throughout the week, however you need to spread it out. What really matters is getting your work done. You know, on the nutrition side of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when I started working with individuals, I would maybe, I think, over-prioritize calorie goals more than anything. Because one, I was inexperienced. Mm-hmm. And two, like, energy balance. You really need to track your calories. It's the most important thing, right? And slowly over the past couple of years, I've really transitioned to where, like, now essentially I have a list of foundational behaviors that I want people to develop. And I do encourage clients to track calories alongside the development of these behaviors, but perhaps not emphasizing caloric tracking until some of these behaviors are developed. And behaviors, simple stuff, man. Like the stuff that the research shows is healthy, right? Like a certain number of fruits and vegetables every day. I don't care what fruits and veggies they are, just a certain quantity every day, a certain protein goal, a certain fiber target. Make sure we have a well-balanced breakfast. Make sure we have a regular meal schedule. And simply just introducing one of those on a weekly or a bi-weekly basis, giving them some education and tips around the habit, resources to help them develop the habit. And doing that in a very simple and structured format is so helpful for people, man. Because I think the one thing that people lack the most is structure, right? Like oftentimes people know like what they need to do, but they get overwhelmed by like trying to do it all at once or what to start with or is this information good or bad? And like coaching really comes down to one, helping people stay accountable, obviously, but giving people direction, clear direction, right? It's like, hey, this is our plan. This is what we're going to work on over the next 3 months. We're going to work on these habits. We're going to work on them in this order. Here are some tips to help you develop the habits. And it's such simple stuff, yeah. You know, because sometimes I think about it, I'm like, wow, what I do is really simple, but that doesn't mean it's not effective, right? And people see so much benefit. So super happy to hear about the way you do things.
Man. I mean, I think, you know, it's really great what you said there about building up habits first. I think that's a really, really awesome technique. Like, that's brilliant. I think as well, just to add on to that, I think it depends so much on the individual.
Certainly.
Like, it's why learning the client is so important. Like, I think, so for example, I've worked with clients that can't stand the concept of calorie tracking. Like, let's say, for example, they've had bad relationships with it in the past. Maybe they've come out of eating disorders, for example, and they've struggled with the obsessive nature of calorie tracking or weighing themselves. Like, I get this a lot with female clients who, you know, they cannot stand the thought of stepping on the scales every day. And that's totally okay, right? Like, that is totally, totally fair enough. And there are ways of working around it. In the same way, there are people that absolutely love tracking calories. They love the numbers. Like, I've got clients, often the numbers guys, the sort of business guys who love the numbers. You know who you are, by the way, if you're listening to this, who absolutely love making sure everything's pinpoint accurate, right? Like, they're hitting their protein, like, everything is like spot on. All the numbers in the gym line up. They're like tracking their like weights, everything, like, as meticulously as possible. Even though, you know, they might be really busy people, and actually lots of the time for busy individuals, sometimes calorie tracking isn't a good option, right? Because they're so busy, it's another thing to add to their routine, and obsessively tracking calories might be something they really struggle with. Therefore, in their case, maybe just focusing on lifestyle changes is definitely the best first step, right? Like, making sure that they are increasing expenditure, gaining self-reliance with nutrition is a big one as well. Understanding portion sizes, those basics, those like fundamentals that they can actually do with minimal kind of time, right? Minimal stress, in the same way that they might experience if they're like rigorously tracking calories all day, for example. So, like, yeah, I think it depends on the individual. And I think that's one thing that I absolutely, probably actually my favorite thing about online coaching, is actually sitting down with someone and really getting an idea of exactly how they run, how they operate. Like, what do they like doing? Are you a numbers person? Do you want to be tracking calories? Are you all right with weigh-ins? If you're not all right with weigh-ins, like, let's figure out a solution together. Let's find something that works for you. Because, you know, as we both know, the more, in terms of purely from a data perspective, the more weigh-ins, the better, really, right? The more you get an idea of those fluctuations in body weight, the better. But, you know, for an individual who's not happy with weighing themselves, like, you can't just force them to weigh themselves every day. Can't do that. Like, that's the worst thing you could do as a coach. So you have to figure out these solutions. And I would definitely say that is the best, my favorite component of it, is really figuring out that kind of personalized response. And actually, this is kind of leaning into the what I'm kind of rebranding to. So, like, I'm going to be calling my coaching approach formula. So it's going to be about designing the individual's formula, right? Like, sitting down, understanding them entirely, nutrition, like, lifestyle, exercise, everything, and then building them their completely personalized formula and going forward from there. So, like, it's what I love about it. And I think, you know, the more stones you turn, the more effective the process is. You eliminate the error margin and you increase success.
Yeah.
Right? It's as simple
as
that.
That's super cool, man. I hope your rebranding and everything goes well. I'm sure it will. Harry, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, man.
Yeah, cheers, man.
I appreciate you taking time to be here today. Do you mind sharing with the audience where they can connect with you, if they want to work with you, what your website is?
Yeah, sure, man. So YouTube, I'm now on YouTube. Instagram for me is the main one. It's Harry Thorne Coaching. YouTube, I've just started recently. I'm now posting like once a week. The content varies a lot. It's more just things that, honestly, I'm really interested in and that I think I will provide a lot of value. So I do them kind of once a week. You can find me on LinkedIn, although I'll be honest, I rarely post on LinkedIn these days. So the best places for me now would be Instagram.
Cool, man.
And
what's your website if people wanted to inquire for coaching, or how can they inquire for?
Through my socials. So that's just through Calendly bookings. Yeah, website will be up actually next week or
great.
The week after.
This episode will be out in that time frame, probably 2 weeks from now or so. So just share your website with me and I'll put it in the description as well. I'll have to check out your YouTube, man. That's super cool. I tried doing YouTube a year ago and it just like,
yeah,
such a hassle. So now I just take this podcast video and post it on YouTube with no editing. And as you can imagine, it doesn't work well, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, that's all good. It's all good. Like, you know, I think YouTube's good fun. And like my YouTube content varies a lot. Like I do, I've done some bits on like some gut health stuff. I've done like the how to navigate health and all that. I'm personally really into like growing my own food as well. And I think, you know, it's something that like I'm making more content on now, the importance of growing your own food. And I think there is a whole podcast in of itself. There's some really interesting stuff, particularly when it comes to like longevity and gut health and, you know, all of those things when it comes to growing your own food and actually interacting with it as well. There's really interesting studies about interacting with soil and gut health, which I can send you if you're interested. They're really, really cool. But as I say, there's a whole podcast in of itself there, like, you know, the health benefits of actually growing your own food. So there's more content on that as well. But yeah, like it varies, but YouTube, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. What I would say is if you get a good editor who can edit your YouTube and then chop it up into short form and just do it all for you.
Yeah, definitely.
It makes your life a lot easier. Because like, yeah. What do you use to edit?
I use a software called Descript. Actually, let's wrap this up and we'll chat because I'm sure people do not care about this right now.
Yeah, sure.
Those of you listening, if you want to connect with Harry, as always, his links are going to be in the description of the episode. If you listened to the entire episode, I appreciate you a ton. As always, there'll be a new episode every week. All I ask is that you take a second to rate the podcast and leave a review because it helps me a ton. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you guys next week.